Sa mga nakalipas na panahon, ating masasabi na ang mga tao sa ating kasalukuyang sitwasyon ay mas pinapahalagahan niya ang kanyang physical health kaysa kanyang spiritual condition. Ito ang isang malungkot na katotohanan. Abala sa pagpunta sa mga fitness gym center o regular exercise 3 times a week, paggamit ng mga products, how to stay fit and young. Bagamat ang mga ito ay maganda at mabuti sa ating physical ng mga katawan, ang kabaligtaran nito ay ating pagpapabaya sa ating espiritual na kalusugan. Ating pinakakaabalahan ay mga bagay na panlupa. At nakalimutan mo ang iyong spiritual na kalusugan ay isang delikadong bagay sa iyong buhay. Sa ating pagtunghay sa Marcos 10, makikita natin ang problemang spiritual na kabulagan. Sa amin ng mga talata ay naglalarawan kung paano ang isang taong bulag sa kanyang physical at spiritual na buhay ay makusumpong ng spiritual ang lunas at kagamutan sa Panginoon Jesus Kristo. Ang takbo ng story ay nasa lungsod ng Jericho. Sa lumang tipan, kilala ang lungsod na ito bilang isang lungsod na tinalo nila Joshua dahil sa kanilang paglikot ng 7 uli sa Jericho at sa tunog ng trampeta ay gumuho ang mga naglalakihang pader ng Jericho. And ganun pa man, ang paksa ng na ating pag-aaralan ay Jericho sa panahon ng bagong tipan sa panahon ni Jesus. Malaki na ang pinakaiba, bagamat ito pa rin ang lungsod na iyon. May mga palm trees at hanging gardens. Ito ay tinatawag na a little paradise. Busy streets na at maraming tao ay naglalakad at dumadaan sa bagong lungsod ng Jericho. Andito rin ang daanan ng mga manlalakbay na nagtungo sa Jerusalem para sa taon-taon na pista ng Paskua. But in the midst of all of the busyness, in the midst of the hustle and bustle and the beauty of the city, sidelined by the crowd, obscured from public view, Mark, he takes his camera and he pans and he zooms in on this poor blind beggar. May apat na bagay na dapat tayong matutunan sa mga talatang ito. Una, his miserable condition. Ikalawa, his faithful cry. Thirdly, an irresistible call. At panghuling, the joyful conclusion. Sa talatang 46, ating makikita ang kanyang kalunos-lunos na kalagayan, miserable condition. This is our first point. The miserable condition of this poor blind beggar. Hindi natin masyadong kilala ang taong nito ayon sa kasaysayan maliban sa pagkakarecord ni Marcos ng kanyang pangalan at pangalan ng kanyang ama. Pero siya ay mga dalawang problema. Una, siya ay may kapansanan, isang bulag. At ikalawa, siya ay isang pulubi. And whether this man was born blind or whether it was caused by some kind of disease or injury, we are not told the details. Pero si Bartimaeus ay nasa isang desperate at depressing situation. Rain or shine, sun and rain. Siya ay palaboy sa daan at nabubuhay sa pamamagitan ng paglilimos. And each and every day is just the same. His survival depends upon the generosity of passing strangers. All that he can do day by day as he sits there by the roadside is extend an empty hand. Sa araw-araw, ganito ang uri ng kanyang pamumuhay. Nakaasa niya siya ay limusan at kaawaan ng mga taong dumadaan sa lungsod ng Jericho patungo sa lungsod ng Jerusalem. Parahas ng mga ating nakikita sa Manila na mga bata at mga taong nagpapalimo sa kalsada. It's a difficult thing, isn't it, to have to observe. And siya ay nasa hindi magandang condition sa pamantayan ng lipunan. He was handicapped. He was helpless. He was an outcast. In fact, his condition was perceived by everybody else in society as a sign of the curse. He had brought this upon himself, or he had been put this way because of his parents. You see, back in this day in which Jesus is living, disabilities and diseases were always seen to be the consequence of sin. And so if you were disabled, or you had a difficult situation, or you had contracted some disease, you would blame either yourself or you would blame the parents. And so many would have passed Bartimaeus by. He was only known not by his name, but by his status, the blind pauper of Jericho. That is his identity. We don't know his name, but we know his condition, the blind poor beggar. Naranasan mo na bang makapasok sa isang madilim na kuweba gamit ang inyong flashlights? At habang nasa loob, kayo ay turn off ang flashlight. Tiyak napakadilim na halos hindi na makagalaw sa sobrang dilim. And that is a picture of the condition in which Bartimaeus finds himself day by day. It is a helpless situation. Every day, araw at gabi, madilim ang kanyang paningin. Total blackness. And the New Testament tells us that this is the world that is occupied by every man and woman and child by nature. Those who do not know the living God are living in total darkness. They're living in a world of blackness. Alam niyo mga kaibigan, ang Biblia ay natuturo na ang mga taong walang pakakilala sa Panginoon Jesus, bagamat sila ay hindi bulag ang kanilang mga physical ng mga mata, ang kanilang mga spiritual ng mga mata ay nasa total darkness. And you may tell them of the beauties of Jesus Christ. You may show them the glories of the gospel. You may show them of the richness of Jesus' grace and mercy, but they cannot see him in their natural state. Hindi nila makita ang kagandahan at kabutihan ng Ebanghelyo ni Jesus. You point them to the good news, and they're blind to the promises. They're blind to the beauty of it all. Nakasaad sa Biblia sa 2 Corinto chapter 4 verse 4, it says this, ang Diyos sa libutan ay binulag niya ang mga kaisipan ng mga hindi sumasampalataya upang hindi nila makita at makilala ang liwanag at kaluwalhatian ng Ebanghelyo ni Kristo na siyang lawaran ng Diyos. And sa isang banda, aminin mo man o hindi ikaw na hindi sumasampalataya kay Jesus ay makasing halintulad kayo ni Bartimaeus. And it's a picture of you and me. A picture of us is described here in this passage. Mayroon kang dalawang problema gaya niya. Una, ikaw ay spiritual na bulag, at ikalawa, ikaw ay spiritual na ng dukha pulube. Makaiba nga lang kayo ng estado. Si Bartimaeus ay pulubi at bulag sa physical na kalagayan, subalit ikaw ay pulubi at bulag din sa spiritual na estado, kalagayan. It's the reality of all of us. We may be living in Kalaokan this morning and worshipping here in TNC, but the reality is if we're outside of Christ, if we do not have Jesus as our Savior, we are blind and disabled. Maaaring mayroon kang ipon o savings, physical possessions at properties. Subalit lahat ng iyan ay sa temporary at physical na bagay lamang. The truth is, we're spiritually bankrupt. And in this beggar, dito sa Marcos chapter 10, we're looking into the mirror and we're finding a picture of the natural man outside of Christ. Due to our position in Adam, we have inherited a miserable condition. And the problem is, though we might accept that to be true, there are so many in our society today, so many people in the Philippines at large, who ignore or are in denial to such realities. You tell them that they're in a dangerous position outside of Christ, and they either do not believe you or they do not care about what you're saying. Ikalabing anim na siglo si Galileo na isang Italian astronomer ay nakadiscover ng telescope. Ang instrumento ito ang nagtuwid sa mga maling scientific theories na pinapaniwalaan ng mga panahon iyon. Dahil dito siya ay nahaharap sa isang malaking opposition. Even though he discovered these great things in the universe, many people did not want to believe. Isang Italian na pare na scientifico ang ayaw sumali sa telescope ni Galileo upang makita niya na ang na-discover na ang moon ng Jupiter ay 600 million miles away mula sa mundo. And the bishop, this man, he was willfully blind. Willfully blind. He did not want to see. He didn't want to know the truth. He wanted to be blind to the reality. And brothers and sisters, this morning, that is the spiritual reality of so many in our world today. They are walking around blind, but they are unwilling. They're unwilling to come to Christ for healing. They're resistant to the message of the gospel. They are reluctant to come and hear the truth of the Word of God as preached from the pulpits. You invite them to come into church and they make terrible excuses. I need to wash my hair. I need to go and take a trip to the shop. They don't want to hear the gospel because they know it will convict them of sin and remind them of that dangerous position in which they find themselves. Magpatuloy tayo sa verse 47. Isang ordinaryong araw na panlilimos ni Bartimaeus nang bilang may kakaibang dami ng taong naglalakad sa Jericho. Narinig niya ang excitement mula sa mga tao. What are they saying? What is happening? Well, paparating nang si Jesus. There was this buzz in the air. And everybody is saying, paparating na si Jesus ng Nazareth, ang Messias. Ang Messias na gumagawa ng maraming himala gaya ng pagpapalakad ng lumpo, pagpapagaling ng mga may sakit gaya ng bulag, pipi at bingi, at pati ng mga may ketong. Ang lahat ng mga information ito ang narinig ni Bartimaeus. And maybe I'm just thinking too much into the story, but I imagine his heart begins to beat. He knew that he had to do something. He cannot just sit still, but he needs to make a choice. He needs to do some activity. And so, ikalawa sa verse 47 to 48, having seen the miserable condition, now look with me at the faith-filled cry. The faith-filled cry. You see, Jesus' reputation as a healer has spread far beyond Galilee. Everybody's talking about it. It's on the minds of the people of that day. Bantog na ang pangalan Jesus sa Galilee na nakakapagaling ng may mga sakit. And para kay Bartimaeus, ito na ang kanyang pagkakataon na mapagaling ni Jesus. Sa unang pagkakataon ngayon, pa lamang siya hihingi hindi ng limos na pera o pagkain, kundi kahilingan ng kagilingan. Ito na rin ang huling pagdaan ni Jesus sa Jericho, papunta sa Jerusalem, sapakat si Jesus ay huhulin at ipapako na sa krus. Never again would Jesus pass through Jericho. This is the last opportunity, the final moment for this man. This was his only hope under heaven. It was now or never for Bartimaeus. As Jesus comes towards him, he must take the opportunity. And so what does he do? Verse 47. Is there a whisper? Jesus, nothing like that, is there? He cries out to Jesus. He shouts at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. He doesn't waste the opportunity. Maybe you've heard the accounts of people who have been trapped on a desert island. And after many, many days, or maybe even years, they suddenly see a boat far away at sea, or a plane high up in the sky. And so they send up a flare, or they gather wood to build a fire so they can send a smoke signal, or if nothing else, they draw out in big letters in the sand, S.O.S. Save our souls. Ito ang ating makikita kay Bartimaeus. Siya ay desperadong mapansin at makita ni Jesus sapagkat ito na ang kanyang una at huling pagkakataon. And friends, you may think that you have a whole life ahead of you. But the fact of the matter is that none of us can guarantee that we will even have another hour or minute or seconds. Nothing is guaranteed. And the same for Bartimaeus may be the same for you this morning. Today is your opportunity. Jesus may never pass you by again as He's doing this morning as we read from the Gospels. This may be the final opportunity for you to gather and hear the Gospel. We're living in the days of God's grace. And I got this Zoom call from my father just last week. And he said to me that one of the regular attenders to the gospel services suddenly had a heart attack and was taken last week. She used to come to the fellowship meals and pile her plate high with food, and that was her opportunity to come and get food rather than to hear the gospel. But she was taken like that. And the same may be true for you and for me. Today is the day of salvation. And it may be now or never. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. The Gospel says that you must call out to Christ this morning. Where you are, what makes you think that you will get another chance to hear the message of salvation? Well, Bartimaeus does not make the mistake of waiting, does he? Kamangha-mangha ang ginawa ni Bartimaeus upang siya ay mapansin ni Jesus sa gitna ng makapal at maraming tao sa lungsod ng Jericho. Siya ay sumigaw na napakalakas. Jesus, anak ni David, maawa ka sa akin. Have mercy upon me. Why had Bartimaeus called upon Jesus? What was he wanting? What did he desire? Did he desire to have some cash? Some money? An autograph? A conversation with this famous prophet from Nazareth? Is that his desire? No, of course not. He wanted what he asked for. He wanted mercy. Mercy. Bartimaeus, He did not see himself as a victim to be pitied, but he saw himself as a guilty man. He didn't feel sorry for himself, but he felt that he needed salvation. He had a clear vision of truth, even though he was blind. Do you see the picture there? Physically blind, but spiritually his eyes are wide open. He sees things with total vision. I am a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. And he identifies this not only as Jesus, the Son of God, but Jesus, the Son of David. What a statement of faith. In fact, this is the only place in the whole of Mark's Gospel where Jesus is identified as the Son of David. It is a title which is rooted and grounded in the Old Testament. You go back to the Old Testament, and this, you will find, is a messianic title. In the Davidic covenant, it was promised that there would be a Savior who would arise from the offspring of David.
Ang isang pangbulag na tao ang nakaunawa at nakaintindi kaysa sa ibang mga tao na kompleto ang kanilang paningin sa mata. Paningin sa mata.
This was the long-awaited promised royal king who would inherit the throne that was first given to David.
Siya ang kaisa-isang tao na nakakailala kung sino si Jesus.
And he lifts up his voice above all of the other competing noises. He is urgent. Imagine for a moment you're stuck there on the streets and you're calling to your friend from one side of the market to the other. I think this works particularly well dito sa Kalaokan because it's so noisy outside, isn't it? And there's so many tricycles and jeepneys and people shouting, and you would have to shout pretty loud to get somebody's attention. And so it is with Bartimaeus. He realizes that he must be heard. You could say that he has the spirit of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 32, when he wrestled with the angel saying, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go."
Ang takpong ito ay parang ang nangyari sa Genesis 32. Na kung saan ay nakipag-wrestling si Jacob sa angel ng Diyos at nagsabing, "Hindi kita pipitawan hanggang hindi mo ako pinagpapala. Isang bulag ang nakaunawa ng kanyang abang kalagayan. Jesus, mahabag ka sa akin."
This was the cry of his heart. Isang Puritan preacher, si Thomas Manton, ay nagsabi, "Sa gitna ng ating matinding pagdurusa, ay mas nababagay tayong humingi ng awa sa Diyos. The more affected we are with our misery, the fitter we are for Christ's mercy." You see, it wasn't just words for this man. It wasn't just something that came out of his mouth, from his mind, and that was it. But it came right from the heart. He realized that in shouting for mercy, that he was a sinner. He acknowledged that. "Have mercy upon me." Why? Because I'm a sinner in need of a Savior.
Mga kaibigan, ang panaghoy ni Bartimaeus ay isang panalangin na gaya ng sa parable of the tax collector. Hindi siya makitingin sa langit. Nakayuko sa lupa. Dinadagukan ang kanyang dibdib, "O Diyos, mahabag ka sa akin. Ako'y isang makasalanan."
He realized, didn't he, who he was in the sight of God. And that is the same humble spirit of Bartimaeus. It is a simple, but it is a sincere cry.
Subalit, kapansin-pansin na hindi siya nakukuha ng sympathy mula sa mga tao naroon, sapagkat siya ay pinipikilan sa kanyang pag-iingay. "Hoy, bulag, manahimik ka dyan, huwag kang maingay at magpapansin, itikom mo ang iyong bibig."
"Be quiet, shut up." Those who were around him, they wanted to discourage his enthusiasm, but Bartimaeus would not be put off, would he? You see, Bartimaeus was desperate. He was not going to be silenced. He wasn't going down without a fight. He would not rest until he got Jesus' attention. And so verse 48,
"Mas lalong pa niyang nilakasan ang kanyang tinig. Mas malakas ang kanyang sigaw, 'Jesus, anak ni David, maawa ka sa akin.'"
Yeah, before, Bartimaeus had been begging for money, but now he begs for mercy.
This was no time for him to be very polite. British people have a bit of a reputation for being very polite, and they don't say what they really feel. Well, he's not a British man, is he, clearly? Because he doesn't want to politely observe the social fences that segregated him and Jesus. He is breaking down the barriers. His condition called for action. And you know, friends, when you seek after Jesus, you face ridicule. You face rejection. You face criticism in crying out to Jesus. You may lose your friends. You may lose family members. You may be forcibly restrained and told to shut up. Maybe in one ear you've got the gospel on a Sunday, but for the rest of the week you're being told that this is all just rubbish. This is nothing to worry about. There are many situations, there are many circumstances, there are many people that may try to stand in your way, to stop you from coming to Jesus. But praise God that you are here this morning. You're sat under the Word of God. You're hearing the Gospel proclaimed. And I have to ask you, ano anong bagay ang mga humahadlang sa iyo upang ikaw ay makalapit kay Jesus? Gaya kay Bartimaeus, ang mga makapal na tao at ang mababang uri ng kanilang pagtingin dahil siya ay bulag at isang pulubi. Subalit, ang mga ito ay hindi naging hadlang sa kanyang upang siya ay makalapit kay Jesus. And so, do not be put off by the crowds. Don't listen to the words of the world which tell you that this is nothing to worry about. That this is not important. Don't pay any attention to that. Jesus said that the path to heaven is a narrow one. It's a grueling one. It's a difficult path, and very few enter onto it. You're a Christian this morning, you're in the minority in the world. There are very few who want to gather and hear the Word of God in this day and age. You will be swimming against the tides. You'll be fighting against the voices of everybody around you. But never be too proud to cry out to Jesus for mercy today. Never be too proud, but be more like Bartimaeus. Naway lumapit ka kay Jesus. Lumapit ka sa inyong kaligtasan ng iyong kaluluwa. Come in your blindness. Come in your poverty. Naway makita mo na ikaw ay isang pulubi at bulag sa mga espiritual na katotohanan gaya na ni Bartimaeus. But now, having seen the miserable condition and the faith-filled cry, thirdly, an irresistible call. An irresistible call. What we have here, sa pangatlong punto, sa verse 49, is perhaps the most powerful part in the story. Huminto si Jesus at tinawag siya. The cries of the poor, blind, beggar, were enough to cause the maker of the universe to stop in his tracks. Can you sense the gravity of what these verses are saying? The maker of heaven and earth stops in his tracks to listen to the voice of what? A poor, blind beggar, a nobody in society. Sa dami-dami ng mga tao sa daanan, siya ang tinawag ni Jesus. Isang hindi karapat-dapat, isang bulag, isang pulubi. And we have to understand that right in this passage here in Marcos chapter 10, Christ is near to the end of the road. He's close to his death. This is what they call a bridge passage. It leads us out and it brings us into Jerusalem, the setting for Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus is just days away from death, and the pressure is mounting upon him. The shadow of the cross is looming over the entire
narrative. 7 full days of tribulation are about to begin. Jesus was going to be betrayed and arrested and beaten and tried and crucified. He's going to go through the worst of suffering. He had all of this upon his heart. He had this heavy in his mind. And yet in the midst of the setting of his face like a flint towards Jerusalem, in the heat of the moment, in the midst of all of this, nagawa ni Jesus na huminto at bigyan ng pansin ng isang pulupi. Bigyan ng oras na mapansin ang isang panaghoy ng isang makasalanan. He pauses on the journey to pay attention to a crying sinner. What a window into the heart of Jesus. You want to know what Jesus is like? Have a look at this passage. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. Tunay na may panahon at may puwang kay Jesus ang isang taong tunay na nagsisisi at nagnanais lumapit sa Kanya. But no, huminto ang lahat, ang ingay ng mga tao at ang lahat ay nakatingin kay Jesus. Kung ano ang Kanyang gagawin kay Bartimaeus matapos na siya ay tawagin. He invites the heckler to come to him. Back in the UK, I do a lot of open-air preaching. My father and I, we go into the town centre and we set up a stall and we preach the good news of Jesus Christ to anybody who would like to listen. And very often, there are people who heckle. Heckle means they shout out, "Oh, be quiet. Go away, we don't want you here, take your message somewhere else." We call them a heckler. Well, Bartimaeus, dito sa Marcos 10, is in a sense a heckler. He's calling out to Jesus. He's stopping him from what he needs to do. And yet Jesus invites the heckler. He invites the one who is shouted out to come to him. He's called him to approach him. And the call, it didn't go out to the crowd, did it? But it goes to the one who called for mercy.
Hindi ang makapal at madaming tao na sumusunod sa Kanya, ang Kanyang binigyan pansin. Hindi ang mayayaman at mahuhusay na tao. Hindi ang maganda, ang pangangtawan, ang binigyan pansin ni Jesus, isang bulag at pulubing si Bartimaeus.
The same people who told Bartimaeus to shut up a few moments earlier now tell him to cheer up and go to Jesus. Those who had discouraged him from coming and shouting out now encourage him as they pass on this amazing invitation.
Mga kapataan, mga kaibigan, ang aking tungkulin sa umagang ito ay encourage kayong lumapit kay Jesus.
Be of good cheer. Rise up. Christ is calling you. That is the gospel. That's the invitation that is presented to you this morning. However you are feeling, be of good cheer. Rise up. Christ is calling you. He's calling you from the Word of God. He's calling you from the preaching of the Gospel. He's calling you week by week as you sit in this place and hear the Bible proclaimed. He's calling you.
Kung papaano tinawag ni Jesus ang makasalanan si Bartimaeus, ganun din ngayon. Si Jesus ay tumatawag sa iyo na kumikilala sa Kanyang pagiging pulubi at makasalanan sa puso.
You see, he didn't see the way, but he heard the voice. Bartimaeus, he didn't know where to go, but he heard the voice in his ears. And he threw off everything. Without hesitation, he threw everything, every hindrance, every obstacle. He did not waste time. Verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus.
In Tagalog, inahagis niya ang kanyang balabal at tumayong lumapit kay Jesus. Hindi na siya nang aksayan ng oras.
He received Christ's invitation without delay. Friends, that is obedience, is it not? That is obedience. He left his few possessions. I'm sure he did not have much with him. Perhaps a little bowl to collect the money. But whatever it was, that did not matter anymore. He came to Jesus. This is why Jesus says how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, because we have so many possessions. We have so many things which hinder us from coming with empty hands to Jesus to say, "Save me from my sin." This man was a poor man. He had barely anything by this world's standards. And so he could say, "I abandon it all and I come to Jesus." He strips off his robes so that he can run unhindered. You look at the Olympic Games, or the, was it Southeastern Asian Games, which have recently been played. Philippines did so well, didn't they? But you notice in many of those running races or cycling, they don't come with big flowing robes onto the field, do they? They come streamlined. They wear the lycra. They wear the things which will not hinder them and will not catch the air to slow them down. So it is with Bartimaeus spiritually. He throws off everything. He doesn't want anything to trip him up or stop him from coming immediately.
Ganito din dapat tayong lumalapit kay Jesus. Hindi nagbabagal-bagal, inahahagis din natin ang ating mga balabal na sagabal sa paglapit kay Jesus.
That garment is, maybe I'm hypothesizing too much. I see it as a symbol of all of the weights and the material pleasures that we can often cling to, which slow us down or trip us up or prevent us from coming to Jesus. And the Bible says quite clearly through the example of Bartimaeus, get rid of them. Throw all of that stuff that entangles you so that you can come streamlined to Jesus.
Ano-ano ang mga dapat mong ihagis at iwanan upang ikaw ay malayang makalapit kay Jesus?
What is it this morning? What's stopping you? What's preventing you? What's slowing you down? What is, I think the Puritans called them, darling sins. I call my wife darling. Many people, they have darling sins. Things that they love so much. Things that they cannot live without. What is it for you? And if that thing is not Jesus, you need to have that dealt with immediately.
Well, ngayon sa panghuling punto sa verses 51 to 52,
we've seen the miserable condition, the faith-filled cry. We've seen the irresistible call. But finally, look at the joyful conclusion. The joyful conclusion.
Si Bartimaeus ay nakatayo sa harap ni Jesus.
Face to face, parang isang takpo ng the king and the beggar, the savior and the sinner. You can't get two more different people. Can you imagine the picture? The blind man and Jesus, the Son of God. Face to face.
Tinanong ni Jesus, ano ang iyong ninanais? Alam ni Jesus na bukod sa physical na kakalingan ay nakikita niya ang mas malalim ng pangangailangan ni Bartimaeus.
This is not just the all-seeing God, but it's the all-knowing God. He is omniscient as well as omnipresent. And He looked inside of Bartimaeus like He looks inside of you and I this morning. And He sees something. He sees what Bartimaeus truly desires, but He wants Bartimaeus to say it. He wants him to articulate what he desired. What do you want me to do for you? Say it, so everybody can hear. What do you want? If we'd begun the reading this morning from verse 36, we would have seen Jesus asking the very same question to his disciples, James and John. Perhaps you can turn back to verse 36. You meet these two disciples. What is their response in verse 37? Jesus says to them, "What do you want?" What a sharp contrast to the blind beggar here in verse 51. I don't think it's an accident that Mark records these two responses in the same section of the gospel, because James and John replied to Jesus, "Grant us that we may sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory. What do they want? They want the throne. They want power. They want prestige. They want the round of applause. But what a contrast to Bartimaeus. They desired greatness and glory instead of service and humility. But that is not the case with Bartimaeus. The great God of heaven is making him a once-in-a-lifetime offer. Think about the genie in the cave. He says to Aladdin, you've got 3 wishes. Well, God gives one to this man. What do you want? The great God of heaven is making him this offer. He could have asked for anything, couldn't he? Hindi power, or prestige, or popularity ang nice ni Bartimaeus. Isa lang ang nasa puso at isip niya. Tinawag niya si Jesus, Rabboni, meaning teacher or master. Nais kong makakita ang aking mga mata. That is all that I need. That's all that I want. And his request for this was the evidence that he believed Jesus could provide it. He is a man who has faith in Jesus Christ to provide what he desires. He asks for the big thing because he recognized that he comes before a big God. He comes before Jesus, the miracle worker with whom all things are possible. That is, friends, the simplicity with which you and I need to come to God this morning. That is the simple response that we need to make, spiritually speaking, as we stand before the God of heaven, blinded by sin. We need the great physician. Lord, I want to see. We don't believe in prescribing prayers in this church. We don't give you a prayer and we say, you read this prayer and you're now a Christian. No, that's not how it works. It needs to be from the heart. But something like this would be a great prayer for you to pray from your heart this morning. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, I want to see. I want to be a true believer. Well, sa ikalawang bahagi ng verse 52, immediately, siya ay nakikita. At ang unang-una nakita niya ay walang iba kundi ang kanyang tagapagligtas na si Jesus.
There have been many amazing published reports, maybe you've heard of them, of blind people having their sight restored by skilled surgeons through complicated operations. You often hear of their joy in seeing their family and their friends for the very first time, and the talent and the technology that is involved in those operations is astonishing. But you know, there was no surgery for Bartimaeus. This was a miracle. Immediately, he is healed. There's no kind of post-op period where he needs to recover. He's immediately got his sight. Something that he never had before. Now he has in an instant. He can see clearly. And I think this is beautiful. That the first thing that Bartimaeus sees is the face of Jesus. Can you imagine? Never having seen anything at all, the first thing is the face of Jesus Christ. The first thing he locks into is his merciful Savior, this compassionate and gracious Son of David. But it wasn't just his sight, was it? It wasn't just a physical miracle, but also Christ doubly rewards Bartimaeus for his faith. There's a double blessing here. He is commended, not for his persistence, but for his faith in Christ. Bartimaeus received his sight not on the basis of his strength, but in the context of his weakness. You don't get a man much needier than Bartimaeus, do you? He had empty hands, empty pockets, blind eyes, a spiritually blind heart, but none of these were disqualifications for him to come to Christ. In fact, it was his qualification to come to Christ, that he was needy, that he had nothing. In my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, naked, come to you for dress, helpless, look to you for grace.
foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. I've got nothing to offer you, Jesus. Apart from my emptiness, apart from my unworthiness, apart from my blindness, but save me by your mercy and your grace. That's all that he has, and friends, that's all that you have this morning by nature. You've got nothing to offer. Nothing to make you acceptable in the sight of Christ, but in his mercy, he can save you. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Si Bartimaeus ay angkop sa kasabihan ito. Hindi lang siya gumaling mula sa kanyang kabulagan. Siya ay nakasumpong ng kaligtasan dahil winika ni Jesus, go, your faith has made you well. Ang tunay na himala dito ay hindi lang ang physical healing, kundi ang spiritual salvation na tamo ni Bartimaeus. His eyes were made brand new, but more than all of this, most importantly, his heart was made new. Look at the way that Bartimaeus goes on from this account. You might say, well, it doesn't tell us in Mark 10. Well, that's because in Luke chapter 18, verse 43, the parallel account of this event, we read this. Siya ay biglang nakakita at nagpuri sa Diyos at sumunod kay Jesus. At ang lahat ng tao nakasaksi ng pangyayaring ito ay nagbigay papuri din sa Diyos. That's an amazing insight, is it not? This man came to Jesus, no doubt with tears in his eyes. And he left with tears in his eyes, but it was very different. Tears of joy. Not only does he see Jesus, but now he follows Jesus. And I'm sure that he's got a spring in his step. He's got a song on his lips. His life is never to be the same. This man's heart was full to bursting. His eyes were not just open, but they were filled with flowing tears of joy. What a change he had experienced in his life. What a life now lay before Bartimaeus. Presently and eternally. This chapter, Marcos 10, is packed full with references to discipleship. You could say that that's what Mark 10 is all about. It's all about discipleship. But Mark holds up this man, this poor blind beggar, as the example for discipleship. The model for true discipleship is found in this poor beggar. And friends, the evidence that you have truly been healed this morning, the proof that you are a true Christian, is seen in the facts, like this man, that you follow Jesus. Are you following Jesus this morning? Are you evidencing that you are a true disciple? Well, Bartimaeus, how did he begin the narrative? He begins by the roadside. He begins as a beggar. Before, he was without Christ. But now, he's with Christ. Before, he was blind, but now he sees. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Bartimaeus, in faith, he cried out for mercy, and he gets grace as well. Isn't that beautiful? He calls for mercy, but he gets more than he bargained for. He gets grace on top of it. But I want to finish with this. Last thing before I close. I want to tell you that as wonderful as this historical narrative is, the same hearts that pitied the blind man at Jericho is full of pity for sinners in Calaocan today. Jesus is passing by, and the question that he gave to Bartimaeus is the question that he gives to you and I in TNC this morning. Have you gone to Jesus for healing? Have you come to Christ? Have you called out? Have you followed? Have you been healed? Our friends, is the story of Bartimaeus your story today? Well, if not, let me give you some advice. the advice of the crowds to Bartimaeus, "Be of good cheer, rise up, Christ is calling you." Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God and Father, we recognize that these are great historical stories. But Lord, most of all, they are a picture of salvation. And Lord, as desperate as Bartimaeus was in his natural state, so we find ourselves in that position this morning. We're poor. We're blind. We have nothing to offer up to you. But we thank you that there is a Savior whose name is Jesus, who can save us from our sins. And Father, we pray that if you have convicted the hearts of somebody here this morning, that you would not leave them in that conviction, but that you would drive them to Christ. That they would see in Jesus a merciful and gracious Savior. Oh Lord, have mercy on us as you had with Bartimaeus. Give us salvation, a salvation that we do not deserve by nature. In Jesus' name, Amen.